Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
We're talking football with the professor, John Clayton, as we do every day here with Bob, Dave, and more. If you guys have questions for John, text those in, 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
How are you feeling about this game? Has your opinion on it changed in terms of the outcome based on injuries or anything?
No, not really, because I think the injury report turned out to be maybe a little better than you thought, because it does look like Chris Carson's going to be out there. Certainly it hurts to be down two defensive backs who start. No Quentin Dunbar, no Jamal Adams. Have to still see about Leno Hill. He's questionable, but I think that, you know, it looks like they may have more than they expected at the beginning of the week, and so that's encouraging. And, of course, on the other side, you saw today that the Dolphins listed as doubtful their $16.5 million cornerback, Byron Jones. And so that does help the Seahawks offense. But at this stage, even though, again, it could be that trap game, and again, trap game only because injuries, fatigue, all those different things, I still think Seattle has a significant advantage in this game.
They used to do doubtful, questionable, and likely, didn't they? Or probable.
Probable.
Yeah, probable.
Yeah. So doubtful was 25% chance.
No, but the way it's gone right now, since they made that change, there's maybe in a year, because again, like I was just updating the my injury report, the what it comes down to is that there's only maybe one or two doubtfuls that end up playing. So
so there's a chance.
No, not really.
Yeah, there is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not, the numbers don't show that, by the way.
Well, they show that one or two.
One or two a year, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. This is going to be one of them.
That's
so
a chance.
So the texters and Jim Moore can all blow it out their nose.
There you go.
I did a player to watch, and I had him, John, as one of them, and Jim was...
Well, you can watch him from the sidelines. I mean, he might be there. I mean, it's a home game, so he might not be in uniform.
I wonder what the odds would be. If I could get odds that he's going to play in this game. But no, it's interesting.
I'll give you 2%.
All right. There you go. It's just interesting how much they've put into their corners. And John, you know the rookie that they drafted this year at corner in the first round?
Yeah. You pronounce it. Go ahead.
Clayton, you are such a veteran, man. He wasn't going to fall for it.
He knew you were setting the trap for him.
The guy from Miami told me it's Ignobogany. Ignobogany, like mahogany.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
So John's just agreeing. So, he's not even going to attempt to say it.
So in other words, it's kind of like a desk or what, a mahogany. It's like
it sounds like that.
Yeah, it sounds like that.
I just like that John said. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to try to repeat it.
He's a wily veteran at this point. All right, John. Well, I was talking about some of the other plays. You know, Fitzpatrick is really interesting to me, and I just think he's a good story. And I think mostly, and I think one of our texters that text in all the time, JS, he was saying that everybody likes an underdog, and it's true. I mean the guy is not really an underdog from the standpoint of he got a Harvard education. He's really smart, everything. But I mean, a guy that got drafted in the seventh round, and he's thrown for 33,000 yards, and he's really having a pretty good year. And he looks, from the games that I've watched, I mean, he doesn't look 37. And he's out there running around. He was their leading rusher last year. And I just think this guy can hurt you.
He can, but of course he can hurt himself too, because he does have a tendency to throw interceptions. I mean, this year, what is he, 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. You know, you look at his career, he's only had one winning season, a 10-6 season, but then, of course, he's been pretty much on bad teams. And so he's not good enough to turn bad teams around. He's good enough to try to get them competitive. He shows good leadership ability. And you're right. I mean, for a guy 37 years old to have a little bit of mobility as he has, I mean, you saw him make a couple good runs last week. You know, he's good. But again, he's a very beatable quarterback. I mean, this is one where you should be able to beat him. And if you're Russell Wilson and you're going up against Ryan Fitzpatrick, now, again, so much of the good numbers that he has, and I'm amazed that he's completed 71% of the passes, but as bad as Jacksonville defense has looked on the Thursday night game, I mean, it probably should have been 77, because that defense was just rolled over and he took advantage of it. But he struggled a little bit in the first two games, but again, this is still a Dolphin team that has a lot of issues. 4 out of 5 new starters on the offensive line, and one of the rookie guards who's ended up starting, Solomon Kindle, he's kind of questionable. So you would think he may or may not play. The one returning guy, Jesse Davis, the right tackle of the starters, I mean, he's probably the weakest link on that offensive line. So that should allow the Seahawks to get pressure. Certainly, they're not real talented and skilled positioned, although I think everybody's real happy with Miles Gaskin and how he's been able to do. But, you know, tight end is kind of a weak link right now. So I think that this is one where, you know, you worry about getting not overconfident, because I don't see the team getting overconfident because they know how much importance there is in winning this football game. But it's still one that this team should, if it gets a double-digit lead, not blow the double-digit lead.
Professor, Thursday Night Football, a lot of people talking about it today, a lot of different things. Adam Gase, Greg Williams, all the personal fouls on his defense. I want to make sure we acknowledge that Brett Rypien out of Shadle Park High School in Boise State, he got his first victory in his debut, his NFL debut last night for the Broncos. I know that he threw three interceptions, but he was still the winning quarterback, John. But what's the fallout here? I thought, I could have sworn I heard you say today that Greg Williams is going to be the next coach to replace Gase.
Yeah, well, I mean,
right?
If it's going to be a change.
That would be a mistake too, wouldn't it?
I would think so. Yeah. Well, here's the mistake that ownership made, you know, and again, you know how much I like Adam, and, you know, certainly being Joe Vitt's son-in-law, you know, really swings him over, and Adam's always been very good with me. But what you're looking at is that this team is an absolute dumpster fire, and he's part of the problem in that dumpster fire. You know, they didn't put a good team around Sam Darnold. You know, certainly Greg Williams. And what was supposed to happen is that the guy that they wanted to hire over Adam Gase was Matt Rhule, who was over at Baylor, ends up now with Carolina Panthers, and he looks to be a pretty good coach. Well, the problem was ownership wanted him to say, okay, well, who's your defensive coordinator? It's not Greg Williams? No, you have to have Greg Williams as your defensive coordinator. Matt says, see ya, I'm going to stay in college for another year. And so, you know, because Adam didn't care one way or another, and of course, we all know that, you know, there was issues down in New Orleans between the relationship with Joe Vitt and Greg Williams. You know, that came out in certainly some of the bad stories that came out of there during the last year or so that he was there. So in the end, I think what you're looking at is that, you know, it's one where I feel bad for Sam Darnold, but I looked at it last night, and I thought Rypien played better than Sam Darnold. And so to have a guy that basically was just on the practice squad this week, getting his first NFL start and outperforming a former high number one pick, that's embarrassing.
John, the 253 says, hey, John, I've become a Raiders fan because I really love the attitude that John Gruden is bringing to the team. Do you think they can make it to the playoffs this year?
Yeah, I talked to Bill Williamson, and he thinks there's a chance, and there is a chance, because when you're looking at it, it's like you saw Denver last night. They don't look very good, even though they got the victory over a bad Jets team, and they're 1-3 with a lot of injuries. Then you can see that, where do they stack up against, you know, the Chargers, and the Chargers can't win close games. And so if they, you know, this is going to be a tough one this week because they probably won't be able to win this one. But I think that there's a good chance that, you know, because they play Buffalo, I think what you're looking at is that they have a chance. I mean, again, if it's going to be seven teams and nine wins, I think they can get to nine wins. You know, John Gruden has a good formula, you know, in the sense that he's going to run the football. He's going to throw the ball to Waller. They still have issues on defense, and they have a lot of injuries on offense. I mean, they're two young wide receiver, including Henry Ruggs. They're not going to be able to play the game. They're out, and their first-round cornerback, Arquette, he's out with a thumb injury, needed surgery. So they're a little bit thin, but I think they can sneak in and maybe get to the playoffs.
Hey, John Garoppolo, he's out, sounds like, yeah. And they're hosting the Eagles. But, man, we're going to find out how bad those New York teams are because, mm-hmm. you know, the Jets and the Giants, Bob, you had a stat. 17
teams have scored more than those two teams combined through three games.
Yeah, but I'm not sure they're going to get their test with the Eagles, who are 0-2-1.
0-2-1, and, you know, they don't have as many injuries as the 49ers, but they are just loaded with injuries. Their top three receivers are injured, so they're basically going on the scrap heap right now to get people to catch the ball for Carson Wentz. The Eagles have four starting offensive linemen on injured reserve, and so, their offense is down to nothing. The Dallas Goedert, the number two tight end on a two tight end offense, he's out. I mean, he went on injured reserve. So literally, I mean, they're just scrambling to get enough bodies to be able to play, and Carson Wentz is just getting destroyed. But then the injury list got even worse. They put Dee Ford on. They're going to put him on injured reserve, the defensive end who's a pass rusher. You know, they're down again two more cornerbacks because Richard Sherman's on IR, and two more cornerbacks got hurt, or Witherspoon, he's out, and same thing with Emmanuel. He's out too, Emmanuel Mosley. So you're looking at two teams right now that barely can get to the finish line for the game because they have so many players out. I think at this stage is that the 49ers have 16 players on injured reserve.
Wow. That's a lot, John.
That would be a lot. That would be correct, yes.
Okay, Professor, the 509 wants to know why we haven't heard anything yet about Tristan Hill and whether
Good
he's
question.
Going to be fined.
Yeah, good question, because that's, you know, usually on Friday is when they have the news dump as far as everything going as far as fines. And now I don't know if it's going to carry over to Saturday, but we should have heard something today.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know.
It's probably in the same file as the Josh Gordon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, there was the 208 threw that in saying, Professor, did Snacks Harrison visit? Is Clay Matthews still a possibility? And any dang word on Josh Gordon?
Yeah. Well, no word on Josh Gordon. Damon Snacks Harrison's coming in over the weekend with a good chance of signing. And no word on Clay Matthews. Nothing closed there, but I'm sure there's conversations going on. But it seems like a one-way conversation because if he does want the $5 million, I don't think the team wants to go to $5
million. You think the Patriots are going to give the Chiefs some trouble? I feel like they always can. I mean, you know, that was a pretty good Raider team that came in there, and they beat them pretty handily. But I'm looking forward to that game, John.
Best game of the weekend.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think the Patriots have a chance. I'm going to say they're going to win this game. What do you think?
I think the Patriots, no. I think Kansas City stole the better team. They're playing at home. But what this is going to be, this is going to be the final test, well, not final test, but one of the tests to see, are the Patriots a Super Bowl contender or just a playoff contender? You know, certainly, you know that they have done better than expected. Cam Newton looks real good, and you like what you see there. But, you know, can they keep up with Kansas City? Because, you know, Kansas City, you watch, there was weaknesses that they had, not in pass coverage. They did well in pass coverage, except that, you know, DK Metcalf got the best of Stephon Gilmore, who was the defensive MVP last year. But again, I think where they're going to be vulnerable, and you saw it, how the Seahawks were able to run against them for 154 yards. I think that the Chiefs will try to run the ball a little bit more and also throw a lot of screen passes to take advantage of all the voids that they have at linebacker and a couple spots at safety.
Okay, Professor, Jamal Adams is out of this game at Miami. Ryan Neal is projected as the starter there at strong safety. How do you think they're going to change their defense, their schemes? I mean, Neal's not going to be running all over the place. What do you think they're going to be doing?
I don't know if Dave agrees, but don't you get the feeling that they're not going to be – there'll be more cover two just to make it a little bit easier, keeping plays in front of them, maybe a little bit less man? I would have to think that that might be the option just to make it a little bit easier for Ryan. Of course, they can put him back because he's going to be up there at strong safety. And I don't know, do they put Diggs over at the Quandre Diggs at strong safety? I think they'd like to have him at free, but I think right now to ask him to kind of be the box safety and blitz and do all those different things, I think that's just going to be too much.
Yeah, I think their game plan is going to be a little bit different because of Jamal Adams, definitely. But yeah, and I mean, if you want to keep everything in front of you, cover three is what you run.
Cover three, okay.
Yeah, there's less, you know,
single high safety or
no? There's double high safety actually, but no, I mean, look, cover two, it is single high actually. You got two corners dropping to the outside third, one in the safety in the middle. You know, cover two is two safeties deep and you got five underneath, and so if you are expecting, you know, intermediate throws, then that's something. But there is a little vulnerability to playing it deep. Your linebackers have to run in cover two, and that's the thing, you know, that you always saw the Tampa 2 defense. The middle linebacker would just take off sprinting down the field, down the middle of the field, because, you know, the safeties are split. But yeah, I don't know, you know, that you're not going to see, I don't think, him in the nearly the same role as what you would see Jamal Adams.
Let's put it this way. Have we seen anybody in a Seahawk Pete Carroll defense that has the role that Jamal Adams has? I can't remember any because, again, he is just that good. He's that mobile. And it's like as great as Ken Easley, as great as the safeties that have been in this franchise.
Cam and Earl, and all that.
It's like, there's not been a safety in this franchise that blitzed 11 times in the opener, had four pressures and a sack.
Hey, John, we played a cut from Brian Schottenheimer earlier saying, you know, the offensive philosophy isn't any different than it's been. And you know, yeah, some different things have happened in terms of balance, but ultimately it's the same philosophy. Does it the offense looks different to me, and maybe it's just the tempo, but does it look different to you?
It does, but again, I don't think it's a difference in the philosophy. I just think it's been an upgrade as far as how they're using the offense, because what you can see them doing is going out and, you know, doing more creative things. I mean, letting Russ make more decisions on the field, letting him roll around a little bit, you know, whether, and particularly, I mean, again, the one change, it's a major one, is they've gone from 11% two tight end to 30% two tight end and become a little bit less predictable as far as what they're doing. And by doing that, I think it's more of an advancement. You know, I think like if you're in school and you pass all your grades and you move on to the next level, that's what's happened with this offense. And now it fits Russ even better than the offenses in the last 2 years, and he's performing at the greatest level you can perform.
Hey, John, a sneaky good team. Mm-hmm. I think this will be a good game too. The Bears, 3-0, and with a quarterback change, and they're going up against this Colts defense that is, what, they're giving up like 220 yards a game.
Yeah.
And I love Darius Leonard, that linebacker from LSU, of course, but that could be a good game. I wonder if the
well, you know what the
defense is going to hold it.
What's great about that is that, former Indianapolis Colts coach are they going against on defense? And that's Chuck Pagano.
Oh.
So there's kind of an emotional thing that's going on there because, you know, he was a coach. They had success with Chuck. And, of course, now he's a Chicago Bear defensive coordinator. And this guy was beloved. You know, he did fight through the cancer and do all those different things. But, yeah, I think that's kind of an interesting part of that, too.
Speaking of that, Ron Rivera is going through chemo this week, and I think he missed a practice or two, but it sounds like he's going to be available.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, he always takes Wednesday. That's where his chemo day is.
Wow.
And then today he had to come off the field early. He's probably exhausted. So you think that he'll be out there at the game. I mean, he's a gutsy guy. You know how tough he was as a player, how good he is as a person. And I have no doubt that he'll be at the game coaching.
What a great NFL figure he is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, having played for that Chicago Bear defense and – yeah, he went to Cal, but what the heck?
But, you're not holding that against him?
Yeah, I won't hold it against him.
Let that one go.
But, yeah, I mean, that's what a tough guy. I mean, that guy's courageous.
Hey, by the way, Jim Moore, how come you haven't brought this up to me? Do you know what the spreads for the over and under have been this year and how the performances have been?
I do not, John. Do you?
I do. Yeah. So far, for the over, it's 30-19 in the 48 games that have been played on the over.
Hmm.
Wow.
You think we'll see an adjustment this week, though? Because Las Vegas doesn't take long to adjust, John.
The only thing, the only adjustment's going to be you've got six games where you've got, again, if you have an NFC game, it's going to be high scoring because of the quarterbacks. Well, this week you've got six games that are interconference type of games, and, you know, some of these games are against, AFC teams that don't score a lot or have trouble scoring, and so that may bring things down a little bit if the NFC does their duty, and so you may have a few more overs. But I think that's going to be the interesting thing because, again, you have six inter-conference games or over the conference games that, are, of course, you know, can be maybe more one-sided to the NFC. Although, you know, one thing that you know is that the NFC East is so bad right now that they struggle. But, you know, like, for example, what do you think happens in that Cleveland game coming up against Dallas? I mean, Dallas should win, but will Cleveland be able to score points, particularly with the way that they're holding Baker Mayfield back and calling more running plays than they've ever called under a Baker Mayfield offense?
John, I think it might be a tough week for Gardner Minshew. They're going to Cincinnati, and I know the Bengals are 0-2-1, but it looks like a spot for Cincinnati to get their first win.
Yeah, but it was funny because somebody from the Bengals called me today, and we were going over that, and, you know, and you know that I've given good grades right now to Gardner Minshew, as he should. You know, right now I'm calling him the second best quarterback from the 2019 draft. But, you know, the Bengals defense is bad. Jacksonville, I mean, and the defense, this one's going to be one that's probably going to be 33-30 with both quarterbacks putting up a lot of numbers. Now, the only thing that Jacksonville has the advantage on, they have a decent offensive line. The Bengals don't. I mean, you've got a real good quarterback in Joe Burrows who's doing a magnificent job, but he's been hit over 30 times, more than 10 times a game. And what you worry about, because they're still staying three receiver and they're not going too tight end to protect him more, is that I don't know if he can sustain this without getting hurt.
Arizona's coming off a loss at home to Detroit, John. They're on the road at Carolina. They're favored by 3.5. DeAndre Hopkins is a game-time decision with an ankle. How are you seeing that game?
I still think Arizona's going to win because they're the better of the two teams, you know, particularly, you know, if they have Hopkins out there. Now, if Hopkins is not out there, that's going to be a big change because it doesn't look like Christian Kirk is going to be able to play. So if you're down two of your top three wide receivers, you could have a very similar spike to what you saw last week when they, you know, blew the game and lost 26-23. So, but I still think Arizona has the advantage. We saw that in the opener, you know, when the Raiders went to Carolina because they were able to go there and win the game. But, Carolina is going to be more next year's team than this year's team.
Jim, what's your upset special for this week?
My upset special, Bob?
Yes.
I don't think it's going to be well received.
Oh, geez.
I like the Dolphins, John, to beat the Seahawks as 6.5-point underdogs there in the heat and sweltering heat sauna of Miami.
Oh, geez.
He's just big on the weather.
I think that's
Professor,
good news.
What?
I think
Professor,
it's good news
why don't
for the Seahawks.
You don't like that pick, John?
No.
Okay.
I mean, who's the better of the two teams?
Seattle.
Okay. Who's the better quarterback of the two quarterbacks?
Russell Wilson.
Okay. End of story.
Keep going.
Okay. No, that's it. I mean, it's like they're the better team, and it's like, I mean, this to me is a double-digit victory for Seattle.
Okay, John, you need to go to 710sports.com and read the story I wrote.
I do?
Well, you don't have to.
No. But... Okay. I mean, let's put it this way. I love reading your stories, but I don't know if that one's one that I'll read because, again, it's like I don't agree.
I'm concerned about the heat, John.
If they lose, it'll be because of the weather.
So you're going to be sweating through this game, I take it.
Yes, I will be.
So, Jim, you like them to win outright or just cover the
spread? Yeah, 27-24 is what I put in the 710sports.com. Yeah.
Dolphins upset.
I'm more of a 27-10 guy, Seattle.
27-10? You think Seattle's only going to give up 10 points?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. It's a bad offensive line. They don't have a lot of weapons. You know, we'll see. Right now, teams haven't been able to run the football. And I think they'll play kind of a safe type defense, keeping everything in front of them. But I also think that, you know, this is a game where you can run the ball because the Dolphins aren't good stopping the run. And now their best cornerback, or at least their most expensive quarterback, Byron Jones, he's not going to be able to play the game. And Xavier Howard's not 100%.
John, you doing your show tomorrow?
Yes, taking calls from 8 until 9.
All right. Have a great show tomorrow. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go. If you missed any of today's cold, hard facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, download the podcast at 710sports.com. Well, we can't let Jessamyn McIntyre leave without a proper send-off, so Dave Wyman invited her for his story time. It turns into her story time. Coming up with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
I brought you a special present.
What is it?
Open it up.
As I was limping over there to beat him, if you grab the guy's face mask and twist his head... Then, like I tried to do to Terry Obi that cut me into the mud, that is something that's different, and that's a penalty.
Normally, this is a time we look forward to stories of violence and mayhem from Dave Wyman.
Oh, there'll be some mayhem if McIntyre's involved.
Well, that McIntyre would be our very own Jessamyn. I guess it's not our very own anymore. It's Q13's very own Jessamyn McIntyre.
She'll always be ours.
All right. Well, she's with us right now. Hi, Jess.
Well, hello, and yes, I will always be yours.
Good, good. We were here first. Right. Yeah, usually this is where Dave
you
tells us
the flag.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We've staked our claim. But this is where Dave talks about, you know, violence and twisting guys' helmets around their face or beating them under a pinball machine or something like that. But he said, you know,
my favorite thing in the world, by the way.
But we had to bring you on because you're no longer here. Wednesday was your last day at the station after, what, almost 11 years? And now you move on to bigger
and better. 11 and a half. Thank you very much.
My bad.
I'm a child when it comes to that. Yes.
11 and a half
years.
How old
are you? I'm not 11. I'm 11 and a half.
Yeah, exactly right. And I know you've had a chance to reflect on a lot of what went on, and we were telling stories, and most of them centered around you lighting Jim up, which brings a smile to everybody's face. Are those some of the most memorable moments for you, or what, when you leave this and you start reflecting, what sticks out most?
Definitely those moments, but I mean, those stick out. the most wonderful things, not story related, are the friendships that I've made. And I don't mean to be all sappy about it, but, you know, through the time that I've worked at 710, the best part about it were, it was always the people. And so the stories that I have to tell are always going to be about friendships and, you know, the kindness that everyone has had there, that, you know, we're all very different people because we're radio folk, as Danny has classified us, and we're weird. And I love that I have all of you weirdos.
Yeah, it's a talkative group, isn't it? It's last night we were...
when it's your job, it's kind of hard not to be.
Well, and I was not the most talkative. And I was, you know, telling the story on your show on with Danny and Gallant that, you know, I remember coming in here in 2009, and the first time I had to host my own show, it was just me. And Jessamine, you know, she was like Dr. Frankenstein. Like, she's like, okay, here's what you're going to do, Wyman. You're going to do this, and then you're going to do that, and then we'll get you to the break. And then, so, yeah, I really appreciated that. And you built this station, and I through things like that. But, you know, the other thing I want to say just to everybody, like, I've listened to, you know, a lot of radio, a lot of sports radio. I think you're the best NFL update person I've ever heard, and also a sideline reporter. I mean, you do such a great job. And so not only did you coach everybody, I just think you, as far as developing your own talent along with developing other people's, you know, and I typically focus on that, as, you know, as far as a producer goes, that you're there to develop other people's, you know, talents. But your own talent has just, it's been really awesome to watch.
Well, I really appreciate that. And it's actually been a joy for me to do all of the different jobs that I've done. And, but I think that the most joy I get out of it is seeing other people develop. And so when it comes to all of you guys and every other show that I've worked on, that is extremely satisfying to me. And then I have my own little things that I do. And I think that it's almost like, I feel like everyone should work in the service industry, like food and alcohol service industry, before they get any other job in the world. I feel like everyone should be a producer before they go on air, because then you know how the sausage is made. And I got to make a lot of sausage with you guys.
By the way, Jess, somebody just texted in, 253, it said, Jessamine is McVay and Wyman is Goff.
Whoa!
She's your security blanket.
I can't tell if that's an insult or a compliment.
Oh, it's Mean Text Friday. So, yeah.
Well, now, Jess, you can be honest now that it's all over with and you're moving on to Channel 13.
Nothing's over.
Okay, when you were thrown together with us three yahoos, including Danny O'Neill, Dave, and myself, you know, guys who had no experience whatsoever being on the radio, what were your initial thoughts?
Oh, I'm going to make this awesome. That's what my thought was. This has unlimited potential, and I've got it. And I know exactly how it's going to work. And that's why I needled you guys constantly. you're good at this. Okay, this is how we're going to do it. I saw a roadmap.
Well, any success we had, and I'm going to echo what Dave had to say, and I'm sure Bob feels the same way. I mean, it was all attributable to you, because, you know, I always hear, you know, on your show in the morning with Danny and Paul, how you're the one that keeps it on the tracks, and that's really true. It certainly was true for Misfit Radio, and we love you to death, and we wish you the best in your new venture there at Channel 13, and I'm glad that we're still going to be staying in touch, and we're going to be saying go Cougs to each other for the rest of our lives, Jess. I just hope you know that.
No, obviously. I figure if I ever get married, that'll be on, like, the card that you sent me.
Yes, it will.
Yeah. No, but that's been my favorite joy of working at 710 is seeing people come in with a ton of potential and trying to get the most out of it. I just really have enjoyed that, and I think that's hopefully what will bring me success in my new venture is finding ways to, you know, I guess just, I don't know exactly. I don't think I'll have the same path as I did at 710 as I will at Q13, but I just love seeing the best come out of people. And I've seen it many times over, whether I'm involved in it or not. I've seen it so many times at 710. And it's definitely not always me who has been involved in bringing that out. But we have so many amazing people in that building. So I said this on Wednesday, but I leave with pride. And it's not just like my own stuff. I leave with pride in everyone that's there.
Well, Jess, I think you clearly cut your teeth in TV with our time together on the Phone Zone, Northwest Cable News. We did that for a number of years.
Phone, yeah. With an F.
Yeah, and we got calls from parts unknown, cities I've never heard of, from people you'll probably never hear from again. Most of the time.
Hump Tulips.
I had never heard of Union, Washington, just various cities. And I'd say 9.5 out of 10 callers were absolutely toasted when they called us. And we would be...
We're celebrating.
Yeah, we'll
just call them celebrating.
And we were given the task of picking the caller of the night after every show. Jess and I'd be looking at each other like, which one was the most audible? Which one was the most intelligible? I mean, it was just, we would get the calls that would be, listen, I've been watching since 78 and go Hawks! Click.
I still remember Googling Hump Tulip while we're live on TV, and I'm like, that's a real town. Like, we're not getting punked right now, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure. And yes, okay. So thank you from Hump Tulip. That works just great. You know, Jerry, who is there and obviously isn't celebrating, we're going to be just fine. Yeah.
That was quite a show.
Yes. It was, and then flying back from whatever Cougar game I was doing to do it too, where I'm just like, okay, camera ready. Oh, like, let's go. That was really fun.
Well, we know you're going to be an executive producer over there at Channel 13, but we're going to see you on TV too, aren't we?
You know what? The world is my oyster right now, Jim.
Okay, good.
I'm sure that I've always been a Swiss Army knife in everything that I've done. So hopefully, you know, you will see me. I'm just willing to contribute in any way I can.
Well, Jess, obviously we're going to miss you, even though you're going to be across the street and we'll see you, but we'll miss just having you in the building. We love you and obviously wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you, guys. I love you all.
Love you, Jess.
I appreciate you having me on.
Yep.
Love you, Jess. Go Cougs.
Go Cougs. See you, Jess.
All right.
There you go. Jessamine McIntyre, 11 and a half years here at 710, and now moving on to Q13, where she will most decidedly make that a better place to be, certainly.
I can't believe it's been that long.
11 and a half years.
Yeah.
I get a chance to see her still because I do a fair amount over at Q13, so that'll be good. But
I still can't believe they threw you your first time on the – was it your first time on the air? You did a solo show?
No, it wasn't my first time on the air. It was just I'd been working there for a while, and nobody could do it, and we did a three-hour show.
Wow. Welcome.
Wow.
Harden was there, too.
How he signed off the show. Welcome.
Oh, you're right. It was a hard out. It was a hard out, and I'd done a good job. And then, you know, like, okay, it's a hard out. And, you know, and so I got all twisted up, and I was like, oh, there's not enough time. And I was like, it's Dave Wyman, welcome. And then that cut me off. And I took all my show notes and spiked them on the ground. I was so angry. And ever since then, the hard out has always intimidated me.
I love it. Welcome.
Yeah. It's like Harden was there for that. Thanks for bringing that up, man.
He's look how happy he is. He likes that. And when you open the show with, hello?
Yeah. That was C. Raj.
He loves that.
All right. Coming up, Tyler Lockett discusses DK Metcalf's rapping abilities, and Steve Smith goes off on Greg Williams. We'll hear from all of those guys next when we sweep the dial. Coming up with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore. Sweeping the dial. Streaming everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com.
Hey, Tyler, as a poet yourself, what have you thought of DK's rap career?
I think DK is a really good rapper. One of these days, we're trying to get him to put me and David Moore on the track with him, but you know how that is. You make one good hit, and you don't want to hit us back no more.
So are we going to get a Tyler and DK collaboration?
We shall see. Right now, DK is shining, not only on the field, but also in his music career. So just letting him see how far he could take it and just kind of see the tools that he could use to be able to be successful in whatever area that he wants. But we're definitely going to try to get that. We do a lot of freestyle battles.
Tyler Lockett talking about the abilities of DK Metcalf. And I don't know, I've never heard him rap, but we got a little clip here. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Dealing with people, they got an agenda. Life a competition, I'm a winner. Never bow down, no surrender. I love the man I look at in the mirror. Everybody tough behind Twitter. Until you face to face, you reconsider. MJ on the court, I beat it like a thriller. The ball in my head, so I gotta deliver.
He's got the auto-tune going.
Auto-tune?
Yeah.
What's that?
It's where you see how the voice sounds a little mechanical almost.
Okay.
Sort of. If you've got shaky pitch, if you're a little flat, a little sharp, it'll...
The Post Malone special.
Yeah. You know, Kanye uses it a lot because he stinks. He can't sing.
What? It'll just auto-tune you where you're,
yeah.
if you're flat or sharp, it'll get you right on the note?
Yeah.
Yeah, I need that.
That's cheating.
That is cheating.
It is. It is.
It's like Photoshopping.
But it sounds, I mean, he sounded like a lot of what's out there. I don't know. It's not my genre of music, but he didn't sound bad.
Sounded like what my kids are listening to.
Is that what they like?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they would like it. I'll play it for them tonight and get back to you on that.
Does anybody remember Young MC?
Yeah.
I remember one time I learned one of his songs so I could sing the entire, not sing it, but rap it.
Yeah.
And it was like super fast, and I must have rewound it and pushed play like a million times so I could get, it's difficult as heck to, I mean, rapping versus singing.
Yeah.
I would say there's an argument to which one's tougher.
Try pulling off some of those Eminem raps.
Oh, yeah.
He's ridiculous.
Is he?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, he sounded fine, but I'm sure his teammates are going to give him a hard time about it.
Just being, playing for the Carolina Panthers and playing against New Orleans Saints and not a Sean Payton deal, but that's a Greg Williams deal. That's what he's always known for. That's what he wants his players on defense to be. I know probably some people saying, how can you say that? I played against Greg Williams a number of times. That is his defense. His defense is about that BS, and that's how he coaches them. That's how he influences them, and that's what Greg Williams does. And if Greg Williams was standing right here, I would say it as well because I've talked to him about it. I've addressed it, and that's the kind of BS that his defense plays. And until something else changes, I see it for what it is. If it smells like a pig, it looks like a pig, and it's oinking, then guess what, my friend? It's a pig.
I'm not defending Greg Williams at all, or his defensive line.
I'm trying not to curse on TV.
Well, don't cuss.
But I'm saying the offensive line for the Broncos also has a responsibility to protect their quarterback. Man, what? Listen, we can be here till 5 a.m. You can sell me the river. You can sell me the bridge. I'm telling you, I played against Greg, and I'm not buying what you're trying to sell me.
I couldn't even hear what Joe Thomas was trying to say.
Steve Smith, who's never afraid to let you know what he's thinking. I did an interview with him once when I was at Sporting News Radio, doing national radio, just about what was going on with his team. And unprompted, I didn't even ask him about Freddie, who was Fred X from the Eagles? Freddie, I'm blanking on his last name. Remember the guy, he third and 14, he came up with a huge catch for the Eagles, and he started...
Freddie Jones.
No, it's not Jones.
Freddie Kitchens.
What is it? Freddie Mitchell. There you go.
Thank you.
Yeah. Remember that? And he was wearing, like, the wrestling championship belt on the sidelines. He kind of became a character after that. But he wasn't a great receiver. But anyway, Steve Smith came on and just started torching him. And I never even asked him about him. And he's like, man, my son in Pee Wee League can play better than him. If he's got a problem with anything I'm saying, he knows where to find me. I'm sitting there going, whoa, what is going on? So he's a little bit of a hothead. Yeah. And he'll let you know what he thinks. And obviously not a fan of Greg Williams, who his defense had 6 personal foul penalties with late quarterback hits last night.
I'm not defending Greg Williams at all. Steve Smith has kind of worn on me a little bit. He's always contentious, and at first I thought it was, you know, like an act or it was funny, but I've seen him be just nasty to so many different people. Michael Irvin, he was getting all over him one time, you know, and they were talking about their careers, and he was just going a little bit too personal, and then, I don't know, there was a guy from the NFL Network that was trying to make jokes, and he was rolling his eyes every time, and it wasn't like he was playing along. So, yeah, I think I'm done with Steve Smith.
You think you're done?
But, you know, I don't know what Joe Thomas was even trying to say there. You couldn't
saying hear. Their line was just that bad, I think.
Yeah, but I don't disagree with Steve Smith on Greg Williams.
Were you guys watching till the very end of the game last night?
Yeah, when Fangio was telling all his players, let's go, let's go.
Well, yeah, but also I was listening to it, and the announcers just were in disbelief that Gase was telling their guys to take timeouts when they trailed by 9 with only 30 seconds to go.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird end to that game. I wasn't sure what Fangio was upset about, if it was the hits or the timeouts or what was going on, but yeah, it was a strange ending to that game.
I should know this, but are the players even allowed? I mean, I've been at the game. Yeah, I guess because I'm always turning and running out to go do television or whatever. Yeah, are they going across the field and saying
hi?
Yeah,
some of the players were from each team were sitting there talking to each other. But he was trying to get his team to come on. I don't know if he was trying to get them to avoid fights, because I saw one of his players look like he was yelling at one of the Jets players or something. So I don't know if he was trying to avoid fights or if he was just like, hey, these guys are, you know, cheap shot artists. I'm not even going to acknowledge them. Right? I don't know what was happening.
Yeah, it's interesting because you can hear everything now, too. I mean, out on the field. And so.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm a little partial to Dan Fouts, you know.
Sure.
And all that, because we came up at the same time and kind of battled back in the day. And so, remember, we were in the same class, even different schools. But he had the best first one. Okay, but there ain't nothing like this guy now. I mean, this is the real deal, man. He looks like he should be on the cough drops box or something, you know?
On the what box? What do you say?
Cough drops.
Cough drops. Box.
Like the Rick Hola guy, probably, or Fisherman's Friend, maybe?
No. I guess I haven't paid attention enough to those to understand what he was talking about, but he was talking about the beard of Ryan Fitzpatrick and comparing it, I guess, to Dan Fouts at one point. But yeah, the beard is the conversation when you're talking about Fitzpatrick, and he's got quite a beard.
It looks like there's a marmot on his face. I don't know how he gets his chin strap down there, but
eating food's got to be problematic, isn't it? Isn't there always something in it when you've got a beard that encompasses that much of your face?
Don't ask Dave about that.
Why?
Because we already heard what Dave said are in beards.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right.
We don't fecal matter.
Really. But how about just eating dinner? Just if he's eating soup or something, or he's eating something with a lot of crumbs, crackers or chips or cookies. I mean, does he just have a face full of food all the time?
Yeah, and he's married. He's got like 6 kids.
Does he really?
Yeah, and I wonder, you know, like, he can support him.
Well, yeah.
He's making like $12 million or something like that. But
he's had a long career.
Oh, man. But, yeah, I don't know. That looks really uncomfortable to me.
All right. Coming up, it is Blue Friday. We're going to do something we haven't done much of, and that is open up the phone lines. We want to hear from Seahawks fans. You guys fill in the blank. Seahawks win if